Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears. You.
Hold on now, brother. You don't introduce 79th and Hallis.
I always. No, you don't.
What you mean? I did last week.
Okay, we usually I introduce everything. I have no problem with that.
I'm keeping this in, and I'm going to continue it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to 79th and Hallis. It is 7:16 p.m. on a Saturday. I'm exhausted. But thank you all for tuning in to listening. This is our week two breakdown of training camp. Week two. This is the second.
I'm gonna let you sit and think about it. Since you the nigga that be there, you should know what fucking week this is.
Nigga, the days melting to each other, bro. Being up there freaking 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. So anyway, I think it's week two. If not, oh well. I'm trying to get. Thank you all for tuning in. This is our recap of what I've seen in the illustrious position of being a journalist at the Bears camp on behalf of the Bigs. Yeah, Scott. Well, I mean, let me just ask you, based on your vantage point of not being there, but being able to, see.
That tastes like disrespect.
I don't know. It kind of came off like that, but that wasn't my intent.
He said, "Well, since some people have to watch from Twitter."
I mean, it's not like you couldn't go up there if you lived here. So
yeah,
like
no, I'm just a joke.
I think the only closed practices are next week, this coming week. It's two closed practices, which I cannot wait to look at. Tuesday, I think, is the first closed practice. Then Wednesday, I have a little minor surgery to remove a cyst on my back. So I won't be there.
Fat ass cyst.
I knew it was going to be something fat. With all the cyst. A fat deposit, nigga. I can't help that it's there. So, and then Thursday, I'll be back. But from your vantage point on Twitter, what did you see?
Well, from what I've seen on Twitter, from what you've been telling me, it seems like Justin Fields is getting better and better every day. Like, I feel like his progress is getting really, really great to the point where people inside Hallis Hall are getting borderline giddy. And there's two reasons I say this. Actually, three reasons I say this. One from what you've been telling me. Two from Lewis Riddick being on Get Up this week. It was like, for everybody saying that Justin Fields isn't a hard worker, they're going to eat their words. They are excited about that young man in Hallis Hall over there. And then, hold on, let me finish. And then, you know, Greeny was like, well, you know, you said the same thing about other quarterback named Patrick Mahomes. He said, I'm telling you, they love what they've got in that kid, Justin Fields. And then Matt Nagy was on David Kaplan's show on Friday, and he was giggling like a fucking schoolgirl. He said, some of those throws he makes, man, I mean, just awesome. So the vibe that I'm getting is, even though Andy Dalton has been looking pretty decent, he's also been pretty turnover heavy. He threw two picks today. Ogletree came and started doing what he did to fucking Chase Daniel 2 years ago in practice. It seems like he's got three picks in practice, and all them shits have been on fucking Andy Dalton. So from what I am being, everything I'm piecing together, it sounds like Dalton, a lot's going to be determined in these three preseason games we got. And the first one will be this coming weekend at Soldier Field against Miami Dolphins. And I don't think that it's as cemented as people want you to think is Andy Dalton being a starter week one. That's what I have gotten now. You can correct me and tell me what the real deal is, but that's what I am thinking.
You know, it's intriguing when I hear national media say they love these guys in Hallis Hall. I wonder, do they call up people?
And, well, we know that Riddick and Nagy are boys.
Well, Riddick, sure. But for other people, I wonder, do you just call up the coach? Because you ain't there. Stacey Dales, really cool person. She's there on behalf of NFL.
Get a load of this guy. You're starting to get like Pav.
Nigga.
Just Pav because like, I saw Jerry West today.
First off, I'm not doing that to flex. I'm being honest.
He don't be doing the flex either. Y'all niggas just say it like it sounds like a flex.
Brother, don't let the elite get you against the working class like me, brother. Don't do that, comrade. But I wonder, do they just hear from someone like Stacey Dales, who's there every day, and they, you know, they take her perspective and then they formulate that, because they're not up there. I mean, but and that's the difference between, it's harder for a national media person to do it the same as local. Is Kevin Fishbane is technically national media, but he lives here and he covers for the Athletic Chicago. But for someone who's strictly national and takes a plane, I wonder how do you get your information on how someone looks? Because I, you know, I don't see many of the national media there outside of her. Like, we have the Associated Press has a, they have like a booth there for when they want to come. Them niggas ain't there. So it's just intriguing. I wonder what it was. It's like for Tom Brady. Like, I'm guaranteeing national media is there constantly. Or an Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes. I know that they're constantly because of the star power in their name. But yeah, I will say, I think we started to see the extent of who Andy Dalton is. So one, you're not wrong. First of all, I will give Matt Nagy some slack. He's just a giddy and a very excitable person. What I mean by that is he just has that kind of energy where he just gets excited to talk about.
You call him Nagy or Matthew? Or
Matt? I said Matt.
Okay. This guy.
The one thing I was taught a hard lesson when I first started covering them last year is don't call him coach. You do not call him coach.
They don't like getting called coach?
No.
So Deion Sanders wants to be called coach, but niggas who are actual coaches don't want to be called coach.
Matt Nagy just
sound like disrespect. Deion is actual coach, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, Matt Nagy wants them to call him coach, but national media don't really. Local media, nobody calls Matt Nagy coach because they're not your coach. They're the player's coach. Now, national media, you know, will call him coach. But we just say, Matt, it's good to see you because, I mean, why am I calling this man a coach if I see him 4 days a week? 4 days a week, and then also, and then add in the Sunday makes it five. You're not going to keep calling a person coach who's not your own coach. And coach is a special title between players and the staff. So the other person I call coach is Tyson LeBlanc, who was my high school coach. They get called coach. Outside of that, it's just Matt. But I will say Matt Nagy is a very – he has that energy where he's just excited to talk about the things that he has on his team. And so he's like, man, you know, dog, you got to love it when he just has to mastery the offense, man. Now, for certain players, he does like to turn up. When he talks about Khalil Mack, a smile gets on his face every time. He's a guy special, ain't he? Yeah, he's special. Eddie Goldman, face lights up. Especially, you know, because, you know, he has a good relationship with Eddie Goldman. So he's talking about, I can't reach Eddie Goldman. Have you guys reached him? Talk about my text, like normally, because Eddie Goldman's a very reclusive person. And so I will say that's probably just part of his energy. Not necessarily that, it doesn't necessarily entail that he's just getting. And so that's why I wonder if national media just looks and said, oh yeah, that's it. What I will say is, though, you're starting to see the rise of Justin Fields and the plateau of Andy Dalton. What I mean by that is Andy Dalton is who you're going to get. And what I mean by that is you're not going to get
a game breaker.
He's not a game breaker. You know what I'm saying?
He's a 40 degree day.
And
do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. That, you know, the classic string of bear quote. Yeah, he's a 40
degree day.
What did that nigga say? Shit, motherfuckers, Barb. What is the full quote?
He said, you know, 60. No, hold on. I will play the clip. I have the video on my phone.
We'll probably forgot to get our channel taken down.
Well, he said something about.
I have it. I have it right
okay,
here.
You have the actual. Okay, say it.
Not the video, but I have the quote up there.
The quote, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's good. That's like a 40 degree day. Ain't nobody got nothing to say about a 40 degree day. 50, bring a smile to your face. 60, shit. Niggas is damn near barbecuing them off. Go down to 20, niggas get their bitch on. Get their blood complaining. But 40, nobody give a fuck about 40.
40.
Nobody remember 40. Y'all niggas give me way too many 40 degree day. What the fuck? I will say a 40 degree day is it's perspective. If we had a week of below zero weather, and then on Friday it's 40 degrees, you're gonna like that 40 degree day. You're gonna say, "Wow, man!"
A day where we've been so bad with our quarterbacks, you might like Andy Dalton.
And that exactly. So it's a perspective thing on Andy Dalton. Since we've had nothing but trash the majority of our career, not career, but our majority of our time as Bears fans. To now, we have on paper the best quarterback the Bears have ever had statistically. All of his stats are better than every Bears quarterback in history.
I know he's not better than Jay though.
In the clutch, I would trust Jay.
Huh?
In the clutch, I trust Jay.
Nigga, you damn right.
You know what I'm saying? Jay Cutler was a boss in this.
Jay just didn't give a fuck.
No.
If Jay gave a fuck, paid attention to the playbook, nigga, and then have six offensive coordinators, he'd have been better. But I'm not gonna.
Interesting career stats, huh? Interesting.
Who?
Interesting. Dalton? Between Dalton and Jay Cutler. Huh? Okay. So, okay. All-time quarterback ratings. Jay Cutler has thrown for 35,000 yards. This is a, let's see. 12-year career, Andy Dalton has had a what year career? He has had a 10-year career. So, of course, this is perspective. In 10 years, Andy Dalton threw 33,000 yards. In 12 years, Jay Cutler threw 35,000 yards. Andy Dalton has thrown 218 touchdowns to 126 picks with a quarterback rating of 87.5. Jay Cutler has thrown, excuse me, I'm about to sneeze my ass off. All right, shout out to mute. Jay Cutler has thrown 227 touchdowns to 160 picks and an 85.3 quarterback rating. So not necessarily that far from one another. I think the glaring difference is 126 picks to 160 picks. But also, we know that when it comes to attempts, Jay Cutler tended to throw the ball a lot more than Andy Dalton did. Matter of fact, he has like over 300 more attempts than Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton has, now there are years where Andy Dalton has reached 600 attempts, but in terms of 500, he has reached 500 or 600 attempts three times. Jay Cutler has reached it 6 times. So I just told you Jay Cutler was a lot more volume than Andy Dalton when it comes on the field. But realistically, their skills are comparable. I will say, however, based upon the success that Andy Dalton has had, which is basically winning like 10-9 games a season, basically when he's with the Bengals, nothing crazy, never made any noise in the playoffs, I'd still say Andy Dalton is amongst, if not the best statistical quarterback the Bears have had. With that being said, that's still a 40-degree day. And a 40-degree day coming from trash, like what the Bears have been through are below zero, negative zero, for since Jay Cutler left. You know, as much as I like Mitch personally, he was not good. Not a good quarterback. I would try to refrain from words.
It took you a long time to admit that.
I still want him to succeed. Funny, his face is still at Hallis Hall because there's a good guy award that he was awarded by the PFW, the Pro Football Writers, PFWA, Pro Football Writers Association or of America. I'm not 100% sure. And his face is still up there. But so, yeah, 40-degree day is perspective. But what you've noticed with Andy Dalton. So when I was there on Thursday, but I've missed a lot. So you're going to hear this on Sunday and we're recording this Saturday and yesterday was Friday. I'm missing Friday, Saturday and Sunday because I've got thesis work for my degree to do and I just don't have much time. And so shout out to the Bigs. I'm sure Herb is just holding it down. You can get it from them. But what I saw Thursday when you're putting on pads for the first time, there was no pads, so you were just having no pads on, and it was just a walkthrough, but no hitting. Today was the first live practice, and I heard it was a little bit chippy. At least according to Jason Leisure, Dave Montgomery got into a little scrap with somebody. That's what happened. My pads go off. But they had a 2-minute warning, and you started at like the 25-yard line. You got to get down, get a touchdown. Andy Dalton's entire drive were 5-yard passes to Cole Kmet. Yep. He had one, I want to say 15-yard throw. No, he dumped it off to Andy to Cole Kmet at least 5 times, and then he was able to find Darnell Mooney on a, I want to say it ended up being like a 25-yard crossing route, or maybe it was a post route. And they got around the 8-yard line. Then it didn't move after that. Then it resulted in a missed field. It was in a field goal. It may have been missed. It built to the field goal by the backup kicker, Brian Johnson. And that was the extent of that. That was how his drive went. Justin Fields' first drive, same thing, was a field goal, but it was a missed field goal in the end. But his first play was around 35 yards. I don't know if this was to Demir Byrd or to Marquise Goodwin, but it's 5-yard pass. The rest of it was kind of stalled, and he had a few pickups here and there. But you're starting to see this is where Andy Dalton is going to get you. Now, being said, Andy Dalton can still lead an offense, but he's not going to do anything game-breaking. There are no game-breaking plays coming from Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is going to get you 3-4 yards, 5, maybe 3-4 yards, go for a 15-yarder, maybe convert it. He go for a 15-yarder, he might try a bomb like on the next drive. Because, you know, one thing about, you know, about football is keeping the defense honest. So if you start chipping away at routes, they're going to try to start keying in on you chipping away. And that's when you try to hit them over top. And that's pretty much his style. When you're going to get someone like Aaron Rodgers, there is no pattern. he can hit you over top immediately. He could try to break you down with a medium yard pass, or he can hit you with, once again, he can rely upon his skill players to get on a bubble screen or a crossing route and get and make some plays yards after catch. And that's what you're not going to get with Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is very methodical in what happens, and it's going to be the same thing. So I agree with what you said. I think we're starting to see Justin is starting to trust in his routes more. And when you're in trying to cover the Bears, I try to remain. It's like you're forced to remain non-biased as much as you can.
Yeah.
You can't cheer on practice. I mean, nobody really cares. People cheer and say, "Ooh, nice. Oh, okay." But at the game, you can't cheer at all. You can't really say anything. You just got to sit there stoically, even if the team you have watched since you're a child just converted like a freaking 3rd and 20. You're expected just to sit there quietly. So I've learned to be sort of non-biased in that way. What I will say is, though, from an objective perspective, Justin is starting. The game seems to slow down a little bit more for him. The game's already slowed down for Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton knows how to find the open man, but Andy Dalton has never been someone who's been some sort of game-breaking quarterback. And that's the difference. That's the difference right now.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
From your time being there, for what you're seeing and all these quotes that we're hearing, do you feel like this is a legitimate QB competition, or do you feel like it's still Andy Dalton's, like it's just Andy Dalton's job?
It's still Andy Dalton's job.
So you don't feel like it's a legit competition?
A legit QB competition would have Justin Fields running with the ones.
Okay, so let's be clear, there's been a lot of confusion about on Bears Twitter. He's not running with the runs.
No.
With the ones, okay.
He could have today. He could have yesterday. So I heard that he was – Khalil Mack had tipped and picked off a pass from him. That would imply that he's maybe facing the number one defense every now and then. What I see is when he first comes in, typically he's the number one O-line is there for a play. They stay for a play, but typically it's the number two defense. Last week in camp, the defense stayed for maybe a play or two. So remember that there were no live pads on Thursday. So on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he could have been running with the ones because Khalil Mack don't stay out there with the twos under any circumstance. So, but going when the first 2 weeks, I haven't seen much of a QB battle. The QB battle seems to me that you're going to get some time with the ones. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's clear Justin Fields knows how to beat the twos. Just like Nick Foles against the threes is unfair at this moment. Like Nick Foles looks like the freaking All-American going against them. But I haven't seen much of a QB battle. So, but this is only my second season covering the Bears, so I don't know what QB battle even looks like.
Okay, fair. Well, from your vantage point, do you think there's anything that over these, like, what are you expecting to see in these upcoming preseason games? Do you think we'll see Justin get to work with the runs? Do you think they're just going to have him running with the B squad? Like, I think that's one thing that a lot of Bears fans want to see. They want to see him throwing to, Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson during these games.
Now what I will say is Justin Fields himself that has still had time with the receivers tend to rotate out.
Okay.
Now, Allen Robinson is gone. What I mean by that is after the ones are out, he gets out too. I mean, he's kind of earned that right. He's not going to go run with the twos, but Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, Marquise Goodwin, all of these dudes rotate. So Darnell Mooney could be out there for a play for the threes just for one time. And that's just to get reps in as much as he can. So Justin Fields has had time to throw with him. He's thrown Allen Robinson a couple times. Also, what I've noticed with Andy Dalton is Allen Robinson is just like every other quarterback who's been here. Allen Robinson is a security blanket. If there's a time for Andy Dalton to take a risk, it's with Allen Robinson. On Thursday, he threw three straight touchdowns. And I want to say Allen Robinson caught two of them. And then followed by that, Justin Fields threw what should have been three straight, threw two straight, and then one was dropped. And what you like to see with Justin Fields is they were to three different people. Because again, when you are a talented quarterback, you want to look for what you want to look for in a talented quarterback is diversity in who he throws to. Now, with every good quarterback, there is a target they will choose to go to more and more.
All QBs have a favorite.
Unless you're Tom Brady later on in his career. Now, he did have, what was that dude's name? Deion Branch. Deion Branch was by no means a perennial player, but Deion Branch during his time was Tom Brady's safety blanket. Rob Gronkowski, once he got there, that was the Tom Brady safety blanket. Aaron Rodgers has had Jordy Nelson as a safety blanket. Now he has Devontae Adams as a safety blanket. Patrick Mahomes just has too many good skill players to say any one of them is a safety blanket, unless you're talking about maybe, I guess, Travis Kelce, you can say that. Is that safety blanket? So every quarterback has a safety blanket. So not that's not to to diss Andy Dalton, because he seems to find find him well. But the best quarterback, something like a Joe Montana, a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady. Peyton Manning during his time, of course, a wide receiver number 88 was his. I heard he's also there at the Hall of Fame.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. I heard he was up there. So to celebrate Edgerton James, Mr. Sir was there. But all of them have a safety blanket. But what you want to see in a good quarterback is diversity when he throws to. The person's open, find the open man. You know what I'm saying? Justin Fields during his first time in rookie camp and then mini camp, he still stared down a little bit. You know, he's still saying, it's like, oh, get open, get open, get open. Then now we're starting to see he's not open. What's the next route? He's not open. What's the next route? You don't really develop. Very few college quarterbacks have a moving head on a swivel type of mentality. What I mean is they just going down their reads. You know, Andy Dalton was looking at all of his reads. He's a professional.
Okay. Nice analysis there for us, man. One thing that I'm worried about, and I think things we've been hearing, it's the offensive line, man. Like, what the fuck is going on? All these injuries we're seeing, people not playing, no practice. Tevin Jenkins, of course, we talked about that last week. But are these like serious injuries? Like, is there like any doubt that they're going to be none? Okay.
No. No.
Okay, so it's just little knickknacks.
They're typically on the side on the exercise bike. Or they're using a hammer and hitting the tire. So no, these are not serious injuries. Tevin Jenkins is his back. Back's let me make sure it's back. It could be, I don't think it's growing. I know Kevin Fishbane wrote about it. But Tevin Jenkins, like, yeah, he think he missed his seventh straight. He comes out there every now and then. But no, it's a quad. So yeah, his quad injury. It's not like Tariq Cohen, and I want to tell Bears fans, he's not going to be ready for the first game.
I'm glad you said that out there, because he's, from what you've been telling me, like, it's not going to happen.
He ain't going to be ready for the half. He's going to be ready halfway in the season. The boy's out there. He's during – while we're reporting there, we can't say, like, okay, what's going on with the injury. Matt Nagy said – he first said on Tuesday after Family Fest that – well, he's more weeks than days away, more weeks. And then on Thursday, he was like, you know, it's kind of unfair to me to say more weeks than days. Right now, I don't want to, you know, everybody reacts it with differently injuries. But from what I've seen, he's not ready. He's not ready at all. Not enough weight is being put on that leg. So I'd give him some time. I mean, how long do we have left to the season? 4 weeks?
Yep.
No, he's not going to be ready.
So... here's another question for you, man. Now, you were at a – that was another question. Let's go to Family Fest. I forgot the question. The other question. But Family Fest was – oh, no. Here's the question. Here's the question. So, we got the preseason game coming up next week. Mm-hmm. You're going to be – they're going to be there, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. So, with this preseason game, man, like, what is the things that we should look for? I kind of don't know. Like, I want to see – because, you know, and this is not Andy, but this is the first time that Matt Nagy is going to be playing starters. In the Matt Nagy era, he has never played starters in his preseason games.
Which is foolish.
Which is beyond stupid. And that's probably responsible for a lot of our slow starts. But what do you think? What are you expecting? Like, for what is there to see now that he's actually going to be playing? Like, you think it's going to be heavy Andy Dalton or just a lot more Justin Fields? Because these are the questions that people are going to be asking. It's going to be a very rowdy week on Bears Twitter. Because I had an argument with somebody the other day, my first Bears argument of the season. And they told me that Nagy is sabotaging Justin by not having him have reps with the ones. I was like, that's fucking stupid. Because one, why would he be sabotaging his young quarterback, number one? Number two, what's the rush? Like, I really don't understand Bears fans. I could see if the reports with Andy Dalton is stinking his joint up. Like, I could see if he was huffing it up, then I'm like, okay. But if he's doing decent, and especially with the troubles we have the offensive line, what's the fucking point of rushing him?
Well, you know, my take on that is, first of all, it's exactly what you said. Why do I have to rush him? This is a young team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is not an aging old team. This is a young team. And the spots that are filling up around the team are all still young. We're not in a they should not be in a rush at all. Because it's not like it's full of aging vets and you got to win now. No, team is young. David Montgomery's in his second year. Darnell Mooney is in his second year. Allen Robinson is 27 years old. What? You know, Roquan Smith is young. Eddie Jackson is young. Jalen Johnson's in his second year. What do I need to rush for? You know, why? Everybody on the offensive line is young. That interior has like 5 years of experience. The only person who's a bit older is Khalil Mack, but everybody knows a good edge rusher can go well into 35 if they keep their body right. So why is there a need to be to rush? There is no need to rush. This is a young team. So I guess I don't understand that feeling of, oh my God, we need to do something. I just don't feel that at all. I do not feel that at all. It has never made sense to me. And I say, like, for someone like DeMarcus Ware was 34 years old, averaging 10 sacks a game.
Yep.
DeMarcus Ware is somebody who has 138 sacks for his career.
He's one of the best players on that 2015 Broncos team. He was old.
Yeah. So if you take care of your body, and then also Khalil Mack is not someone who suffered later injuries. Now, DeMarcus Ware was pretty injury free up until like 2013 when he left Dallas on his last year in Dallas. But like, there's not a rush with this team. This is a very, very, very young team. The only aging person is Danny Trevathan, which I had an interesting conversation with him during it. So it's really weird. Since you have time, you have a young team. Let Justin adjust to the game. Let him adjust to the speed. Let him adjust to finding that open man. When he was at Ohio State, it was different. Ohio State's offense, as you know, is I hate to say, it's going to sound terrible. Ohio State's offense is make or break. And what I mean by make or break is make a long completion or let the running backs break the defense. If that's not happening, then it's scramble. Like, we have to scramble to make a play. Justin Fields was not the best statistical quarterback. I'm pretty sure JT Barrett is still the best statistically. And Dwayne Haskins should have every record that he has. But what Justin Fields showed everyone that they didn't have was the ability to still make a play after everything has broke down.
And they were there longer too, also, right?
Yeah. They were there. JT was there. Well, there is in the team, yes, because Justin Fields only there 2 years, actually. He was there, of course, he's at Georgia before. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't understand that concept whatsoever.
We're gonna have a lot of stupid arguments.
But you did ask me what I should look for, you should look for. And so what you should look for is that entire first team is going to be Andy Dalton the first game. Because Andy Dalton needs time to learn as well. Andy Dalton needs time to play with the number ones. He needs time to figure out how the Bears offense works live, and it gives time for the coaches to see how does Andy Dalton react to
in game situation.
Because last year he was pretty much just a manager, still yeah. had a lot of turnovers,
and they had better weapons in Dallas.
I don't think so.
Mark Cooper had a better year than fucking Allen Robinson.
Did he?
Yes, they have. CD Lamb was there.
CeeDee Lamb was not good last year. Come on now, relax.
Yeah, they have a better running back.
No, they do not.
Let's pull up them stats, man. Let's pull up the stats to some of them Dallas Cowboys offense last year. Because
you out here tripping with Ezekiel.
I could be wrong.
Ezekiel didn't cross 1,000 last year.
Okay.
So I'm not sure where that's coming from. I think Amari Cooper, you might be right on. I'm pretty sure you're right on Amari Cooper. No, you're not right on Amari Cooper. So. You sure about that?
I'll take that back then.
You sure?
I'll take that back.
Okay. Allen Robinson had 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns, 102 receptions. Amari Cooper had 92 receptions, 1,100 yards, 5 touchdowns. Shut your mouth. Now, you're correct about CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb had 900 yards, 5 touchdowns. That is, he's a better player than Darnell Mooney at this injunction. Yes. Darnell Mooney, I think, only had 400 yards, 500 yards receiving, 631 yards, 5 touchdowns. I was completely wrong. 61 receptions, and CeeDee Lamb had 74 receptions. So, yeah, you would still, you would take CeeDee Lamb right now for Darnell Mooney, as much as, you know, it's just the truth. But also because running back,
Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky overthrew that nigga a lot, but that's a whole different conversation.
Now, running back, Dave Montgomery had a better year.
Okay. Now, speaking of Nick Foles, Nick Foles had a pretty spicy press conference this week.
That was Herb who asked the question.
Okay. So that's my thing with Nick Foles. Number one, I don't get the fan base's obsession about him being traded. I don't give a shit. All right, if he's on this team, cool. If we trade him, cool. Like, is it really that much better than him and Tyler Brand fucking again? Like, they're like, oh, we have to trade him, get a piece back. What much are you getting for fucking Nick Foles?
Seventh rounder,
nigga? Like,
that's a nigga. If there's one thing you give Ryan Pace credit, he knows how to draft in the end. That's the only thing I see.
But I just don't think it should be a point of argument right now. Like, there's a lot of...
It's from a business perspective. If you have a piece there that you're never going to use, but will be a value to another team, get the value.
Yeah, but is the question was, is
we... It's like you have an inventory, Scott. You are a business owner.
Hear me out.
You're a business owner. You own Pillars. You bought it from Mike. You put Mike out on the street. You own it now.
Fuck you, Mike. I'm putting you out of business, nigga.
So now, now you own all of these things. But you decided one day we're going to stop selling shorts for whatever reason. But shorts are still valuable to other companies, to other customers, and you have pallets of shorts sitting in the back. They're valuable, but you're not gaining any value from there. So would you get the money back right now just to have it because it increases your capital?
No, yeah. I get the analogy.
So I understand wanting to trade Nick Foles. Am I urgent about it? No.
That's my point. And then also, of course, the topic came up this week because we all know about Carson Wentz's injury, which he could be out 5 to 12 weeks. Also, Quentin Nelson had the same injury. But now it's been mixed reports like, oh, well, they're not going to trade for a quarterback because he might be ready week one. Like, we don't really know. Seems pretty vague. And also in his interview this week, in his media appearance, it felt like Nick Foles was kind of sassy. Like, oh, we've had teams that could have traded me to. We just didn't like the options. Like, who the fuck is giving you, you know, like, you don't have a no trade clause. Why are they discussing this with you? Like, he just came off like he was giving off a lot of excuses for why he stank last year. You know what I'm saying? So I just didn't really understand why he was even getting fucking interviewed to fucking begin with. Like, why the fuck we even care what Nick Foles got said?
It's funny because when I got back to camp after not having been there, they were like, man, your boy Herb, man. He had everybody lit up with that question to Nick Foles, basically, you know, telling him that, do you believe you're still starting this league? And Nick Foles said, you know, basically, hell yeah, I'm still starting this league. You're not. But shout out to Herb Howard, first year with the Bigs, really dope working with him. Nick Foles is he just knows he has good arm talent, and he's been number two or number one a lot of teams. So he probably feels disrespected being number three. I don't blame him, but the both people ahead of you are both better than you. So what can you do? He probably would feel more comfortable being a number two. He is a number two in the league. He's not a number one. You know, your most known thing will be the backup who came and won the Super Bowl. And the next year lost that spot immediately again. So I feel him though. You know, when you're a world-class athlete, why would you not want to play? And I just think that he has a lot of fire in him. And also he's old enough to not care to hold himself back. Other players will hold themselves back, but him and Jimmy Graham, I like, they don't hold their tongue for anybody. Why? They've been in the league for a long time. Jimmy Graham's like in his 12th year. He's not to hold back for nobody.
So what was Jimmy Graham complaining about? I didn't really know what he was getting upset about. Because first when I read it, I thought, well, he didn't get vaccinated?
No, he's vaccinated. Getting tested every day, he hates the concept of that. And if you miss testing up to five times, you can get fined $150,000, which is just a lot. And basically, he said all of this is forced on them, thrown upon them by the NFL and the Players Association. It was never voted upon. They don't have a vote. Now, that being said, the press, I have to get tested two times a week. I just got tested yesterday.
Now, what kind of tests are these? Are these nose joints?
These are nose. They hurt.
Are they uncomfortable? They hurt?
Well, they flare your sinuses up. So everything just feels open, and it's not comfortable. I just get mine from Walgreens, but we're required to get it every 2 weeks. And even our system is an honor system. You know, it's if you say you did it, we believe you. Okay. Me, I'm getting myself tested every 2 weeks. You know, and if the Bears said they'll test me every day as a member of the press, I would do that easily. Yeah, I want those results. I want to make sure, like, when I got the COVID test, it was the first time in 2 weeks I was like, whew, okay, because I know that Elijah Wilkinson, Patrick Scales, and Eddie Goldman were in COVID protocol, which, once again, of course, due to HIPAA, unless they tell us why they, you know, that they were a positive case, or they just were near someone, you don't know what was going on with them. And so I was concerned because I interviewed Elijah Wilkinson for about 10 minutes straight, literally dead ass in front of him. So I was a little afraid. I was like, oh my God, let me get this test. So if the Bears were to test me every day, I'd be fine with it. But I'm also not a millionaire. I'm not sure what the freedom is with that. And with the Players Association, that's your union. And Jimmy Graham was just saying it was a little unfair that it was just never agreed upon or talked upon. But he also made sure to say, mind you, I'm vaccinated. Every other player on the Bears said, it was a little personal. You know, I don't really want to go into my decision. Jimmy Graham's like, no, I'm vaccinated. I believe the vaccines. He's just, I think it's just unfair that it's happened like this. So, yeah.
I kind of agree with him a little bit. I kind of agree with him a little bit on that. But, yeah, so thank you for clearing that
They're up. They're uncomfortable, man. They suck. Who wants to walk in at 6 a.m. and have something stuck up your nose?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense. Now, Family Fest happened this week, and I thought it was a little weird because it was the first Family Fest that was, what, 11 a.m.?
Trash.
I don't understand what the fuck the point of it. Was there any explanation for why they changed it?
No.
So, well, of course, now we've been to multiple Family Fests. Most all of ours have been in the crowd, not, you know, on the ground level like you were. Of course, you saw Hall of Famer Kurt Warner.
Things do real things.
You saw Hall of Famer Kurt Warner at practice.
And that's the difference between I'm there as press, so I couldn't be a fan. I want to say, Kurt, what's cracking, bro? You know,
what's cracking, cuz? But what'd you think about
Kurt,
it?
Kurt, like, looks good for an old man. That's how you know he's a world class athlete. Yeah. He look like he'll still body you.
Yeah. So what was your how was the experience?
Not the biggest Family Fest I've ever been to, but I think they closed off the top levels, like the 300 section. I don't know it. I don't think you ever get into 300 section, but I think you could have gotten to the 200 section before COVID. I don't know. I'd love to fact check that. It was a solid amount of people. Thursday's practice I thought was as packed as it could be. It was like 1,000 people there. You know, it was a lot of people there. Family Fest did not feel like that as much. We also had 5 rows cut off for the press. It was hot. I didn't want to be there because it was so hot. When it was at night, the sun's down, so it just feels a little bit better. It's a breeze. The breeze coming off the lake. You ain't getting none of that when it's hot. I was dying in that sun. So that was what was going on during that time. Family Fest was cool. It was the first time seated in pads. The defense, Akeem Hicks, was around like 3 fights. The defense and offense fought about 3 times. And I had asked Matt Nagy specifically, I'm like, I talked to you about intensity and your team ends up getting in 3 fights. You like to have intensity, but what do you think of that? He's like, you love competition, not combativeness. Great quote by him. And I was like, that's a good way to look at it. And I just nodded my head like, okay, good way to look at it.
You were the Ross gift.
You know what I'm saying? It was a very, very open and honest quote. You want competitive. You know, you want them to be chippy. Like, yeah, y'all ain't getting nothing on us, but you don't want them to fight each other because you're teammates. Yeah. It's like when I asked Kendall Vildor, I was like, what do you think of the offense? Because that is your offense. You know what I'm saying? And in practice and training camp, no, that's the opposition. But after that, for those brief series, those your teammates. So you don't want that. And they were a little bit chippy, a little bit fighting, going at each other. Matt Nagy had to bring everybody into a huddle in the middle of the field. And he basically said, when I asked him, he said, you can't do that. That's not what we're doing here. You're a team. He was yelling at him. And that's the, you know. And you really don't see yelling at the players because that's just that Matt Nagy style.
Yeah,
you'll see Juan Castillo yell. The side doesn't really yell, but you'll see the assistant coaches yell, especially at the rookies. But these dudes are millionaires. They ain't going to take everything you tell them. You know what I'm saying? Right. You can say that to college players and high school players, but you can't say that to millionaires. Matt Nagy's just straight up yelling, saying, y'all can't do this. But it was a cool atmosphere. It was good to see the team really play well. The offense was starting. The defense had been winning since minicamp, really everything. And it seems like they were winning today again with more picks. And that just lets you know how good of a defense that they are.
Which is great news.
The only old players on there are Danny T and Khalil Mack. Danny T may be on his way out after having a great career, but Khalil Mack still got 4 or 5 years left.
Ain't Akeem Hicks older than Khalil Mack?
But, you know, defensive linemen are really weird with their careers, though. Now, Akeem Hicks, of course, is – probably on
Akeem 31. He older than Khalil.
Akeem Hicks is probably on his way out too.
Yeah, he's 2 years older than Khalil.
Jimmy Graham, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, Danny Trevathan were out today just getting rest. So yeah. But somebody said the Bears MVP is gonna be Andy Dalton this year. You're out of your mind. It was just a random person.
You do good though.
So shout out to Thomas. but yeah. So that my take on it was a good family fest, but Thursday was even though it was no pads, it seemed to just have a little more energy, a little more life. Shout out to Jay Ella, man. When he wasn't there DJing, it was terrible. It was awful. They were playing country music. I'm like, what is happening here? Put Jay Ella back on. Like, do not do this ever again.
Like, what are you doing? Stop playing this shit. But yeah, man. We don't have any. We had like two questions, but if it's not five questions, I'm not, you know.
Do better. Do better. We don't tell y'all much. Better, you man. All give us 30 questions.
Right. I swear to God. It's happening.
When we press you time, off of questions, you niggas don't give us nothing.
None, bro. We don't get none. We have one question from Ola Ortiz. He said, why are White Sox fans so bitchy and whiny? Enjoy your AAA team. We just kicked the shit out of them twice. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Don't worry, the Iowa Cubs.
Don't worry about what real niggas do over there. Okay.
I'm sorry. This is first place talk.
Yeah, this is first place talk. You niggas don't know nothing about it. So this has been your week two look at, what's been going on in Hallis Hall, man. Next week, we'll actually have a game to talk about.
Which will be fun.
I'm very excited to watch that next week. So that'd be fun.
It's so funny. I've been campaigning for them to let us on the field for the preseason game. They're not, because I'm not a part of that pro football association. So I don't have the pool that they do. And I'm just a rookie journalist. I really would like to be on the field for preseason game. What do I need to be in the press box for? I'm not collecting stats. I'm here to watch. So. It's intriguing.
By the way, I want to give a shout out to LA County for sending me the information to get my digital vaccination card. We out here.
Wow.
Yeah, man, before we get out of here, I just want to say, Adam Silver, stop being a fucking bitch. Okay, y'all let LeBron Tampa every goddamn week. He had lunch with Russell Westbrook 2 weeks ago. What are we doing here? Like, you know what I'm saying? Stop trying to interrupt our balling, dog. Stop trying to interrupt our balling. You know, and we're the third biggest market in not only life, but in the NBA. Don't you want United Center to be sold out? The fuck are you doing? So that's all I got to say about that. You know where to follow us at Barbershare Scott, at Flo Zandolini, at Barbershare Net, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Man, we'll be back next week for more, training camp news. And we'll have a game to break down.
Also, shout out to Larry Hawley.
Big shout out to him.
I was on WGN Digital. Had a conversation with him just about what stood out for me. Larry's a very, very good dude. He moved from, he was working with Sports Feed, which was CLTV, if I'm correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now he works with WGN Digital as like a senior producer, like the head of the digital department. So we just set it up through Zoom and was just chatting. It was really, really, really fun. Terrence was the reason I went on to it. Larry Hart was a person I connected with for Sports Feed a couple years ago. And then Larry reached out for me for this interview. It was really, really dope. So shout out to them. And we will catch you all next week with a training camp breakdown. My schedule next week, just so I know, I will be there Tuesday. I'm off Wednesday. I'm there Thursday. Friday, there is no availability. And then Saturday, I'll be there 12 for the Dolphins and Bears games. And then back to the next week, Sunday, there's no practice. So I will be there. And then Sunday, of course, I won't be there Sunday, but I will be there every day except Wednesday. So I'll have 3 days worth of stuff for us to talk about, a little more than I had this week, which was just 2 days because I had ultrasound. Shout out to the doctors. Ultrasound was good. So,
always
yeah.
Always good news.
Always good news. Just a fat deposit on my leg. And I got one on my back. One is a lipoma. One is a cyst. So all of them getting taken out. God's good. We will catch you all next week.
Go White Sox.